Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I did do my research, you know, of course, being in that situation of trying to pick a team, see where, you know, because I've already was on two, you know, want to make sure that you, everybody wants to find a home, you know, and but I did. And watching the film from last year, you could see that, you know, the guys were making big plays and so many people at that doing that. You know, you would see all different guys catching the ball, you know what I'm saying, all different guys running the ball and doing well at it. It wouldn't just be Cook, you know what I'm saying, the other two back there going crazy. You know, so just seeing that, I think, makes anybody excited, knowing that you'll have a chance and an opportunity to show it and then to help and to impact. At the end of the day, when we leave the games and we talking with our brothers about, oh, remember that play, remember this play and how good that was, or even things that we got to learn from, I think is one of the best parts.
Elijah Moore on One Bills Live talking about how the Bills spread around. Worth noting right now, on carries for running backs, Cook 34, Ray Davis 10. Ty Johnson 4.
Is that probably close to in line with what last year was?
Cook got three times as many as the next. You might be right.
You might be right. It's a little more than
they might have just leaned on him. And, you know, we're two games in, so we'll see how things kind of balance out. And you know, if somebody misses a game, does somebody catch up? Does Ray Davis had the game against the Jets last year where he got the most of the game.
Last year it was 207 for Cook, 113 for Davis.
Okay, so that's definitely not what it is right now. But again, two games in. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, and the Herd Mentality Substack, his All-22 goes out each week. Great, great information, great stuff, great asset. Joe joins us here on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills Dolphins. Joe, good morning. Good to have you on again. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Short week, everything smushed together, but we're getting it done.
Yeah. Let's quickly review the Jet game, and maybe we focus on a couple individuals here. James Cook, of course, had a huge day, but I'll ask you about Joey Bosa, who, you know, going into the game, I know you had predicted that maybe Bosa would have a big day. He flashed against the Ravens, showed some ability to win from the edge, and now he has another big day and another forced fumble. And I wonder, you know, if you're thinking about projecting him for the year, how much better this could get, how much of a game wrecker he could be, or is he just a kind of a cog on an improved defensive line? So what do you make of Bosa two games in, and where could it get to?
Yeah, I'm really excited about where Bosa's at, and I thought he really turned it on late last season. You could tell he was healthy and looked like the vintage Joey Bosa, and I think he's really kind of carried that over into the early season here in Buffalo, and he's on his game. You know, he's obviously a very talented football player. It's a top five NFL draft pick that's had a lot of production in the NFL. It's really just been about injuries. But you saw him get healthy late last year. He's actually said that's where he started to feel got his best, and then he's been healthy to start this season, and you just see him getting off the ball with a lot of quickness and a lot of confidence. He's powerful. His rush moves are well-timed. And you've heard him recently talk about just the fit in Buffalo, whether it's, you know, the actual defense and getting back to playing hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive end, where, you know, for the Chargers, he really played 3-4 outside linebacker and was in a 2-point stance. And you heard him in his press conference a couple days ago talk about just, and he's in a 2-point stance. He never felt like his feet were right, and he's trying to get it in the right position and takes away from his get off. But when he's in a 3-point, he can really get off the ball, and he's playing more tighter alignments, right, which gets him closer to the action, which he really likes. And so, like, that fit in the defense is something that Bosa is obviously excited about. But I just also think there's a mental side and a human side to Joey Bosa, and I'm not going to slander the Chargers. I don't think that's necessary. But you could tell that he's reinvigorated with his trip to Buffalo. And, you know, a guy that getting back to that college atmosphere that he played at Ohio State, you know, obviously what Bills Mafia and that environment's like. But, you know, getting away, right, something new, a new challenge, refocus, resetting. He's talking about his fiance and how, you know, she's enjoying the area, and they're talking about watching the ducks in their backyard. And, you know, all these things matter. He's talking about, you know, he's never been so connected to his teammates. He's never been so happy after a win. The guy has some new energy about him. So you get this really talented football player in a new spot. He's healthy. He's on his game. He's playing in the type of scheme that unlocks more of who he is. He even said in his press conference this week, he's like, my body type is just so much better for what they're asking me to do here in Buffalo. So it's a really nice situation. I think you're seeing just kind of the tip of the iceberg of what he can do. And where I get excited is how this defense continues to improve and what that means for a guy like Joey Bosa, whether it's some of the reinforcements that are going to come, whether it's just this defense settling into a new style, and it's very much a new style. You're seeing three linebackers, you're seeing heavy boxes, you're seeing blitzing, you're seeing man coverage. There's a lot of new on this defense, and as it continues to settle into what it needs to be, I think you'll see more and more playmaking from Bosa. So great start, stay healthy, and I think the best is still yet to come.
Quickly on Bosa, a little more on when you say body type, how the Bills are asking him to do things a little differently than the Chargers might have.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really comes down to he's playing hand in the dirt 4-3 defensive end with the Bills. And, you know, Bosa is 6'5", 280. You know, you talk about outside linebackers in a 3-4. Those are 6'4", 240, you know, super, like, lean and bendy guys. And, you know, Bosa's a pretty complete player, but he's a power player at his core. And for him to be able to be in tighter alignments, right? Not as much stand up outside of tight ends. He's playing more in a 6-eye, which is, you know, kind of inside of that tight end, you know, puts him tighter, right? It reduces those angles for him based on alignment. So it's more tailored for what his skill set is. And you could tell he's excited about it based on what he said this past week.
The second and third level of the defensive performance, Joe, they stopped the run, they stopped the pass. You saw the corners get in even on run stops in the backfield. It felt like even behind Bosa and the D-line that everyone behind them had a great game too.
Yeah, it was a really cohesive defensive performance. I thought Bobby Babbage simplified some things and just they played a lot better. And I think a lot of that is who they played, right? The Jets are not a team that you look at offensively and think much of their talent. You know, when you talk about weapons, it's Garrett Wilson. That's about it. You've got Justin Fields, who, you know, he's on his third team after being a high first round pick for a reason, right? He's got his own limitations. It's game two of this entire system, right? And you get ahead by 10, by two scores, really, with 10 minutes into the game. And that puts the Jets into a style of game that they don't want to play, right? So I think there was a lot of game script and talent issues that helped the Bills play better. But I think that's important. Like, you want this team to start to find some confidence defensively to buy into what they're being asked to do. And so, yeah, I think you certainly are mindful of the context of the game, but you want to build some momentum. It's kind of been the conversation is you had a bad matchup against Baltimore in week one. Then you kind of have this opportunity to find your stride and the schedule softens up a little bit. And, you know, so far the Bills are taking advantage of that, and I like where it's headed.
The matchup with Miami, you know, we can sometimes talk about Baltimore as a bad matchup, maybe in large part because Baltimore is good at what they do, not just because of what they do. For Miami, it's an offense that has had some success in the McDaniel era and the Tua Tagovailoa era, but the matchup against the Bills seems like it's never really been that good for them. What is it about the Bills that they're able to do with Tua and a Mike McDaniel offense that leads them to consistently beat them?
Well, I hate to just go with the game script route, but I think it's really important. You know, the Dolphins and a lot of the teams in the AFC East, they're very game script dependent, right? The games have to go a certain way for them to be successful. And, you know, Tua's a limited quarterback. But when he can play in rhythm, right, which is a lot of their scheme throws and first read, get the ball out, he's got a quick release, he's accurate on short throws, he makes, you know, he's a good anticipatory player, you know, he can operate in that rhythm, you know, he can be really effective. And then, you know, it's also what they can do to complement their run game, right? It's a potent run game, but the problem is they can never stay in a game script that allows them to play the style they want to against the Bills in particular. A lot of times, you know, whether it's their defense giving up points early and now all of a sudden they're in a deficit and they can't play the style of offense, or, you know, Mike McDaniel, I think he's got his own major game management issues where he chases it so bad, right? Like he has no patience whatsoever. If he senses that, you know, there's some leakage going on and they're going to have to come back and score some points, like he searches and chases it, and it takes it out of like the rhythm of what they need to do. So I think it's game script. I think it's how Mike McDaniel fails to stay patient with how he plays games. And then, you know, just the limitations that Tua has are, I think, exacerbated whenever you are in these type of game scripts where you're chasing points and you're trying to go blow for Josh Allen. And so I think it's a bad matchup for Miami in terms of style of play. And with how good Josh is at scoring points and the stress that puts on that offense, I just don't think they're able to play their style of game, and the Bills tend to pour it on.
Would you expect any different wrinkles from Miami offensively, Joe? Like, when you look back at their matchups with the Bills, how different do they look in what they're trying to do game to game against the Bills, who have mostly had pretty good success defensively against them? There was the game last year where it comes down to a 60-yard field goal where they weren't terrible, but the Bills have mostly had the answers for Mike McDaniel.
Well, I think that might be the problem with Miami, is there's too many wrinkles. You know, this is I listened to Joe Brady. He said something this week that really spoke to me. He said, "I don't believe in eye candy." He says, "I believe in everything being intentional." And I don't think Mike McDaniel agrees with him, and I think that's probably an issue. And I think Mike McDaniel's answer has always been to throw wrinkles at things instead of just being good at what you do. And, I mean, I just look at this coaching staff. They have Mike McDaniel's a head coach and play caller. They have an offensive coordinator. They have a passing game coordinator. They have a senior passing game coordinator. They have a run game coordinator. It's like, how many cooks do you need in the kitchen for an offense that's in year four under Mike McDaniel that can't get out of its own way when it comes to procedural issues and having the right amount of players in the huddle and getting play calls in on time and motion being timed up correctly to not get delayed game penalties or not going forward at the snap? It's like embarrassing how many issues this team just has procedural. And so I think there's a simplification that needs to happen with Miami. And that was the whole appeal, is like, you continue with continuity. You know, you don't have Jonnu Smith, but you have Tua and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and Achane, and your center's back. Like, there's some good continuity in some spots here for Miami. And you feel like you're watching a team that's in their first year of the system. And so, you know, I think there's a simplification more than wrinkles needed for Miami to have a better chance of being consistent with their offense.
Joe Marino joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills-Dolphins as the Bills look to continue their domination of this team. You know, Joe, looking around the league, I kind of want to get your thoughts on some other contenders. We've spent so much time on the Chiefs over the years, and of course the Ravens have entered that mix as well. And the Bills' pursuit of the one seed, here we are 2 weeks in, and it looks like things are setting up very nicely. There could be a couple other wrinkles, one of which is the Chargers. And I want to know if you believe in them and what they're doing right now. 2-0, and doing it in a way that they don't normally do it. They're throwing the ball a lot, and a lot more than any other team. So how about a matchup there? Like, if a hypothetical Bills-Chargers matchup, what do you like about the Chargers? How real are they, and what would that matchup look like, do you think?
Yeah, I give the Chargers a lot of credit. I think you make a good point there, where their style is just different than what you expected, where they're throwing the ball a ton. And I mean, just nobody likes to hype up their players more than Harbaugh, right? And he's calling Derwin James the greatest safety he's ever seen. I'm sure you've seen some of his quotes on Herbert. Like, I mean, boy, wants this guy to marry his daughter, it sounds like, you know? And so you forget that Herbert passed for 5,000 yards in his second season, right? Like, he's a guy that's capable of being a high-volume passer. You know, I think that the goofy coaching of Brandon Staley, you know, really – really kind of took away from his development and you know, like the overall effectiveness and success of what that team should have been with a quarterback like Herbert. So I buy in on Herbert. I've watched Herbert plenty of times and think, boy, that guy's one of those different ones, right? That can be a catalyst, a reason why you win games. He's unbelievably gifted. And, you know, the receivers have really come on, right? McConkey's a dude, and Quentin Johnson has really emerged, and Keenan Allen, like, he's at home with the Chargers. He's a meaningful piece of what they could do. And you kind of think about Greg Roman and Harbaugh, and you think about running the ball, right? They got a first-round running back in Omarion Hampton and a good offensive line, but that really hasn't been effective for them at all. It's been throwing the ball. And I'm sure that gives them more and more confidence to be this type of team. And really, you know, when Herbert got back from injury last year, their pass rate over expectation was skyrocketing, right? Like, number one, and it continues to be number one. So I like where their offense is at. I think their run game will get better. Defensively is kind of where I have some questions. Obviously, I think they've played the Chiefs. Like, let's be honest, spent 2.5 years of like average offense, and then the Raiders. And I just don't think that's a real operation quite yet with all the new parts of their offense. So, they were really good defensively to start last year, and then I think that got exposed later on. And I have questions about their talent. Like, I don't know about their D-line talent. I don't know about their corner talent. I don't know if they have another linebacker to go with Dion Henley. So I think they have some questions to answer there. But, year two in their scheme defensively with some new pieces, I'm sure they'll want to hit their stride. But, yeah, I take the Chargers seriously. I really do. And I'm sure they have a lot of confidence in who they are and, the style of football they're playing lately.
Khalil Mack with that injury could hurt, too, depending on what happens there. Do you, after seeing the Chiefs through 2 weeks, do you think they're going to have a tough time tracking the Chargers down 2 games back already?
Yeah, I do. The Chiefs have had the 15th scoring offense each of the last 2 years, right? They don't run the ball well. They don't have an explosive element to their passing game. Mahomes off script is still really good, and he can make things happen. He could be a magician, but they're not supporting him with a run game, right? And I mean, we're watching the NFL, right? Everyone's watching the NFL. Like, you got to be able to run the ball. They can't do it. He's been their leading rusher the last 2 games, and that's not really going to work. And, I mean, maybe the receivers will all come back healthy and it'll take off where it needs to go. But the sample size is growing here of a lackluster passing offense that doesn't score a ton of points and can't run the ball. And now you got a pass rush that's not showing up defensively. That's going to put a lot of stress on a defense that wants to run man coverage and blitz, I think they're a little undermanned with their pass rush right now. And they got some questions offensively. And, I think there's some tension, right? I mean, we're watching the Chiefs, right? It's Travis Kelce, getting mad at the offensive line. Then Travis Kelce gives the ball to the Eagles and, he's making mistakes. And you got Drew Tranquil and Chris Jones, at odds with each other. Chris Jones freelances, goes inside, loses the game. There's some things going on, right?
Yeah.
I'll be the last guy on planet Earth to rule out the Chiefs, but you're lying to yourself if you don't see some issues right now.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast joining us here. Joe, back to the Bills before I let you go. The everybody eats scenario, it's working. We heard from Elijah Moore there at the top of the segment. And I wonder what your thoughts are on two players, guys that we would think would be a big part of this that, they have to different degrees here. First, Dalton Kincaid. I know you've been bullish on him as a big feature of this offense, and when the other pieces line up for him, whether that's Allen being better for Kincaid or them putting him in better spots, if you think that's all still coming. And then also on Shakir, who when he caught his pass against the Jets, I thought, like, oh, that's right, Khalil Shakir. Like, are you seeing maybe the high ankle sprain? Does he look on film to be a little bit like he's kind of still working through it coming back? So on Kincaid and Shakir as the season moves on from here.
Well, Shakir on that catch and run for a first down, it looked like that ankle looked pretty good to me, right? He was the yards after catch guy that we love in Khalil Shakir. I think with Shakir in particular, I think that's where I get excited about how the offense can improve, right? You expect a bigger role from Khalil Shakir, and boy, he's a skilled player. And obviously, I think there's more production for him to be had in this offense. I think that's definitely going to come. And as for Kincaid, the tight ends are just a big part of this equation, right? We kind of talked about it for years, but this trio, they're playing them all. These guys are playing a ton of snaps, and they're critical for the foundation of the run scheme. But then, they're getting some opportunities to catch a ball a little bit as well. And so, obviously Kincaid's the most talented receiving threat. I think we were reminded of some of the variants that can exist when you throw the ball to Dawson Knox. Hawes is certainly, his two targets. He looks pretty good on both of those catches, but really the guy that could be the difference maker is Kincaid. And I think he's off to a good start. I wonder if the volume will ever be there for any one player, that's not Josh Allen or James Cook in this offense. But it's about opportunities and what guys do with them. And it feels like that's been a good story to tell so far for Kincaid.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. We'll chat again next week. Joe, thanks for the time, of course. And enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Joe Marino. Find him where you get your podcast, Locked On Bills, and, of course, thejoemarino.com for all the stuff he does, the herd mentality, where he posts the L-22 video, bunch of stuff from Joe, always top-notch.
Here's something funny on the Dolphins. On August 31st, they tweeted out and posted on YouTube, Under the Sun, Episode 1 of our new behind-the-scenes show that'll be on Tuesdays on YouTube. They tweeted that out on August 31st. They have not posted another episode since then. 2 weeks later. Dolphins fans yelling, where is it? Where's the behind-the-scenes show? Did they just think people would forget about it? And like, yeah, maybe we don't do this after the fact. Because we got smoked by the Colts.
Right,
do we really want to show everybody the behind-the-scenes of that?
Behind the scenes, yeah.
And then we lost to the Patriots.
Interesting.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing.
Just not do it. Let's just not do it and see if anybody picks up on it.
Yeah. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-552-550.
It's also Patrick Mahomes' 30th birthday today.
Old!
And it's Alex Ovechkin's 40th birthday today.
30. Mahomes 30.
Mahomes is 30.
Is he going to win?
Which I mean, inevitably, ESPN and all the shows and all the Twitter accounts are going to just bombard you with stats about how much winning he did in his 20s compared to like the rest of the league in history.
Give me the line that he's going to win another Super Bowl. What's the line?
The line?
The money line. That he wins another Super Bowl. How much of a favorite does it have to be?
Minus 200. Just a gut instant reaction, minus 200. How's that feel?
Bet board? 20 to make 10?
I don't want to bet Mahomes. I mean, to bet Mahomes to win the Super Bowl and not even get a good payoff on it.
All right.
No, I don't want to do that.
We got gaps on our bet board.
We need something good on there. Want me to bet Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl to fill in the gaps.
You win 10 bucks. Yeah. You put up 20, you win 10.
Imagine like me sitting at some party in the AFC Championship game this year. At the
I won
Super
10
Bowl.
Bucks.
Like, at least I won 10 bucks as the Bills lose for a fifth time.
Put up 200 then. You won 100 bucks.
But then I've got to pay you. Well, I guess if the Bills
200.
If the Bills doesn't. Have won the Super Bowl, I got to wait till he retires.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that. All right. I'll do a different bet. I'm not doing that one.
Trying to get a bet on the bet board. All right. Anyway, when we get back, we've got another scandal in sports. It's one of those.
It doesn't involve Tom Brady.
No. Well,
are you sure?
I can't rule it out.
Okay.
He's not mentioned. I don't know if the perpetrators drew inspiration from Brady.
Right.
This is a scandal in a sport you maybe didn't know existed, but we'll soon find out does, and the fallout appears to be hilarious. So we'll get you that, and of course, Bills Dolphins along the way. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Well, they got a good quarterback, and they do things the right way over there. Like being in that building, they do things the right way. They got a system of how they run things and how they do things. Everybody just follows him. He's an MVP. That's what I remember. So he's one of the best quarterback in the league, the MVP. He can do it all. He can run, throw, it doesn't matter.
Rasul Douglas asked, what are the Bills doing that's so right? MVP quarterback and everybody does things the right way. His answers. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. We will talk with Mike Catalana tomorrow. Bills Dolphins preview, and also maybe a little of that news on Oak Hill getting the PGA Championship back in 2035, as he is reporting, which is, that's great news.
Yeah.
Ten years.
They're in the rotation still, which is good.
I'm going to hit the range to make sure I got 10 years. I got 10 years to make it, Joe.
If you played golf every single day for the next 10 years, how close do you think you'd come?
Not close.
I agree.
Not close.
Didn't Tony Romo basically do that for 10 years and he came close but couldn't qualify
for
the U.S. Open?
Not close. Could I shoot par at a local course if I did it every day for 10 years?
Every day for 10 years.
I might take some days off.
I'll be 10 years.
I'll be 56.
You're going to shoot par at 56?
Yeah. If I just committed full time to playing golf just with the goal of shooting par.
Okay.
Mark Cuban decided at age 50 he wanted to dunk a basketball. And did it.
Did he?
Yeah. He trained to be able to dunk a basketball. I
mean, he also has billions of dollars at his disposal to help accomplish that.
Well, the whole point is, what's more likely? If I started training today and it was either shoot par or dunk a basketball, which is more likely? I'm 46.
Oh, Mark Cuban's 50. You're probably taller than Mark Cuban, too.
I don't think so.
How tall is Mark Cuban? He comes off as a short guy. No?
No, he's
6'2".
Yeah, he's got a couple on me.
6'2". He's 50 years old, though.
That's what I'm saying. He just decided to dunk, and he did. What do you think he'd be better off doing, shooting par or dunking?
I think my brother, who is a couple inches taller than me and definitely can jump higher, he tried for like 2 summers to get to a point where he could dunk, and he just kind of was able to do it. So if he couldn't get all the way there, I don't think I have it in me.
Yeah.
When I was playing hockey still, I could dunk, but my dad would never believe me. Like every summer I would come home and I'd be training. Like, I'd go play basketball just for fun with my buddies, and I'd dunk a basketball. And I'd come home and tell him, like, I dunked today. He's like, no, you didn't.
Did you ever take video?
I never did, and I'm now past my dunking prime, I'll tell you that. But I could do it at one point.
When is the dunking prime? It's like 18 to 22? 23?
Sure.
That's dunking prime?
You can probably extend it a little longer than that if you're not stopping being your athletic pursuits.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Dunking prime.
Dunking. We got into like, I think you're more likely for par. About that, though. It was
you're,
funny.
You're more likely to shoot par than dunk.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't. You're already you're a never good golfer. Dunk.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if I dedicated enough time in life to it, I could shoot par.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not one of the hard courses, maybe a middle one. But I've shot
par to middle course.
You know what? Yeah. Anyway,
you could shoot to par tomorrow if you go to a certain course.
Yeah, there might be some. I could do that on 803-0550. Bills Dolphins preview. We're talking about that with you. Anyway, Mike Catalana tomorrow at 8 o'clock ahead of Bills Dolphins and on the PGA Championship news at Oak Hill. Had something else I wanted to get you. We'll get a call in here. Paul on the West Side. Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm in my first guillotine league this year. I actually started it myself.
Nice.
I credit you guys with getting me interested in fantasy football. It's a lot of fun, so thanks for that. And my question this week is, should I start Jared Goff or Mac Jones in guillotine, standard quarterback scoring?
Yeah. Who do the Niners play this week? The Niners play Arizona?
Yep. Lions play Baltimore.
I would play Goff. I would play everybody that plays in Baltimore and Detroit. Everybody. The Ravens just got in a shootout with the Bills. Why would it be any different?
Yeah, Mac Jones is not a bad play. Like, he just had a big game, 3 touchdowns. Arizona's defense looks like it could be sneaky good.
They've played two teams you just don't know. They played the Panthers and the Saints.
I know, so, right. And he didn't play against the Panthers, but I would go Goff. That game's got the highest over-under of the week. You're going to get scoring. Yep. They're going to have to keep up.
Yep.
Yeah, I would go Goff.
Yeah, it's guillotine, so you're looking for floor, and I would definitely lean to a game that has the highest over-under of the week.
It's not even like Mac Jones doesn't give you any rushing over Goff anyway, so.
Yep, that's right.
I would go with Goff, yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Anybody here been chopped in a guillotine league yet?
Nope.
Nope, not yet?
In our guillotine, I'm the number one team in scoring. I'm not even close. Although, actually, you're always close. I could get eliminated next week.
You can go out this week.
Right.
A point on that. So, some fantasy stuff, because you had some big quarterbacks missing.
Yeah.
Higgins and Chase. You don't have to fade them too much. You really don't. If their defense is still terrible, I know Jake Browning is not Joe Burrow. But I just saw this point here that Timo Riska, Pro Football Focus, made about the Bengals. And you probably don't know about this. There's somebody, I think he's at Sumer Sports, that is kind of single.
Sean Syed, maybe?
Maybe. Someone is single-handedly fighting the war that Joe Burrow is the reason he gets hit so much. And it is overblown how bad his line is.
Mm-hmm.
That It's not a great line, but Burrow is partially to blame. And the fact that he's hurt all the time, that is partially his fault. And Timo Risk of Pro Football Focus just had this. So it's one game, but they also have a sample from 2023. Combined pass blocking grade when Burrow is in and when Burrow is not in, which might reveal a flaw in the pass blocking grading system. Like, wait a minute, was the blocking good or was it not good? The quarterback, does that affect it? Sure, the quarterback affects sacks, but does that affect the grade? Anyway, when Joe Burrow was on the field, the pass blocking grade was a 49.9. When Jake Browning was on the field, it was a 73. And in 2023, when Browning played a lot.
Seven starts.
The pass blocking grade with Burrow was 54. With Browning, it was 67. The line grades better for the other quarterback. So it's weird. He basically says the Bengals' offensive line can't deal with the Burrow offense. And the Burrow offense, I've seen some say this as well, that the reason you want him to have Chase and Higgins is he is a genius. He's expert at one offense, at one kind of offense, and you need Chase and Higgins. Doesn't mean he's not good, but you do need guys like that to work the Burrow offense. Now you won't run the Burrow offense. You'll run this offense where it's Jake Browning, two stud receivers, and an offensive line that grades better
when
this
in there.
Quarterback. So just for fantasy and any of that, I don't think you have to dump out on Chase. He still could give you numbers. I don't know if he's giving you wide receiver one numbers for the season.
Yeah.
But I think he's still a must start, and I think Higgins is a must start anywhere.
Higgins is, I think, even a better start because Browning throws it at him more than Burrow does. And Browning put up numbers. So those games he played, Ian Harditz had a funny stat yesterday on this, that since 2023, games with 320 passing yards, Patrick Mahomes 3, Jake Browning 3. He'll put up numbers, even if they're not winning games. 354 against Jacksonville in that year, 323 against Minnesota, 335 against Pittsburgh. Like, he's gonna stack numbers. So I would still be playing all those guys. Yeah, for sure. Like, of the quarterbacks that are going in, like I asked you earlier, like, I have Jefferson in a league and Justin Jefferson hasn't had a hot start. But like, Carson Wentz might actually be good for him. Like, there's some spots where backup goes in, you're fine. It might even be an improvement. Like, Tyrod goes in for the Jets. Is Garrett Wilson any worse off with Tyrod than he is with Justin Fields?
Do you know, I saw a stat on Tyrod, his last five drives. His last five drives in the NFL as starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns and one punt.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, it might all be garbage time.
Probably is a lot of garbage time. He would go in for Rodgers at times last year.
I mean, they should probably put him in. They should put him in for Fields.
But I'm like, that offense could function better with Tyrod in there. I think the Vikings offense could function better with Wentz in there than McCarthy. I mean, I would say the Niners offense functions better, but it functioned fine with Mac Jones in there last week. Like, there are some offenses.
Saints, but yeah.
The Saints, right. There are some offenses where you look at it and go like, the backup goes in there and it might be not that different. The Bengals, though, are never a team I've ever really. It's Burrow, right? It's 5,000 yards. It's MVP candidate. It's guy who went to the Super Bowl. I mean, if Jake Browning goes in there, what if Jake Browning goes in there and makes the playoffs? Like, how does that change the Burrow conversation?
Does it lead you to apologize to me for calling him fancy?
It would do that.
Fancy Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I would. The minimum, I would apologize to you for calling him fancy Kirk Cousins. Burrow.
It wasn't supposed to be an insult. It was just supposed to be that, you know, he's fancy Kirk Cousins.
That I saw as an idea for the Bengals.
Kirk Cousins. Right.
Like, they should go trade for Kirk Cousins. Cousins is still unhappy. He doesn't want to be in Atlanta because he wants to play. And there you go.
You want to
go to Cincinnati and throw to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins for the next 3 months?
Is the cap hit a star destroyer? Like, what is the cap hit?
I have no idea. He's in the second year of a monster contract, so I would imagine. Wasn't his contract like fully guaranteed again?
Yeah, for his cap hit this year is $40 million. The Bengals might have space. They don't like paying people.
Say that might be the one team that can handle that.
And there's $45 million dead cap next year. That might be one of those spots where they like dead cap because they don't have to spend it.
Just the dumbest contract ever. They just wasted half of their rookie contract window with Penix because they decided to give Cousins a giant sum of money and just not play him.
Yeah.
Just a dumb, dumb decision that was by them to pay him.
$100 million guaranteed for Cousins on that deal.
And he's going to play five games.
$100 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right, 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Wednesday, beautiful day. Bills and Dolphins tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow we'll do some more Dolphins memories. I think it's this scandal in sports. In the
Yes, we got to get to that.
The overseas scandal and the takeaways from this. What's the best thing I can tease for it? The people that cheated admitted it right away, and the people putting on the competition are kind of happy that there was cheating. That's the best I can do. It's next. All right, gentlemen. Scandal rocking the world of the Stone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stone skimming championships.
Okay. Throwing stones?
Yeah. This article is full of puns. It's from the New York Post.
That's good.
Yeah. Full of puns. Rock in a hard place. World stone skimming championship tossed into chaos by a cheating scandal.
How would you possibly cheat at stone skimming?
Okay. I'm glad you asked.
I've been thinking about this since you teased it the first time.
I don't know how you would do it.
Several competitors were tossed like the stones they threw.
This is getting
I'm telling
a
you.
Little much.
So the World Stone Skimming Championship on the small Scottish island of Easdale earlier this month.
Okay.
A handful of the 400 participants were accused of using, quote here, suspiciously circular-shaped stones.
Suspiciously circular shaped stones.
Yes, the rules require you to get the stones naturally from the island of Easdale.
Okay.
Kyle Matthews, who organizes the event, he's known as the Tossmaster, he told the BBC that the, reading from the article here, stone cold cheaters did admit to it and apologize for doctoring stones. Apparently there were rumors and murmurings of nefarious deeds and stone doctoring that, in the article here, sank the integrity. But how about this for a spin? The toss master, Matthews here, he told the New York Times, "It only shows how keen people are to win this trophy. In many ways, it's flattering."
That someone would try to cheat their trophy.
You run an event. You got cheaters. You're like, you know what?
It's like, you know, I'm not even mad.
This is great for us.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Here we go. People want our stuff.
So again, what are they were taking real stones and then they were like shaping them.
Yes, doctoring them to make them go further by being suspiciously circular.
Okay.
Shouldn't I feel like stone skipping trophy should be awarded based on your ability to skip the stone, not find the stone that's the most skippable.
But that's
it's part of the game. You've got to identify your stone,
right?
And it just has to be a naturally acquired stone.
You're saying everyone should just be using the same
stone.
We should
get a uniform stone.
A uniform stone. Yeah.
But you can't have a uniform natural stone because it's the idea
right,
is.
But I don't need it to be natural.
You got
to
find the best stone.
Have a stone like a
you'd prefer
a stone,
the artificial stone.
How is this different than baseball stadiums are allowed to be a little bit different? You want uniform stadiums?
No,
there aren't
but
many
that's
examples
not
of that though.
Luck
sports.
Based on finding your stadium. You're
how about okay
getting lucky finding about, a good
right. You don't hit a button to randomize stadium.
What are you doing with fishing? uniform fish are thrown into a pond, and whoever catches the most of the exact same fish,
right,
or is it who catches the biggest
right,
fish?
But that's a fishing competition.
But you got to find the fish,
right?
And then you got to find the stone, and you can't create a fake stone.
You say the whole game is finding the fish, though. There's another step beyond finding the stone.
Right.
This is finding the stone and then being able
this
to
feels
throw
like
it.
It's more about like
skipping than the stone.
Exactly.
Right. It should be called the
stone finding championship.
The stone finding championship.
I don't think you could just find the stone and then skip it past the John Gibbons, by the way, who is the champion.
Maybe. I mean, if he gets a really tiny stone I get a better one, maybe.
John Jennings won. He's the first American to clinch victory since the competition started in 1983. Like, how about that? We're number one in stone skipping.
You give Josh a lumpy football and give Tua a normal football.
Them's the breaks. You found a lumpy football.
Right. Like, I don't want it doesn't feel like...
It's like, sorry, Josh, you found a volleyball. You're going to have to use that for this drive.
Right.
Well, would it change anything if I told you that the guy that won it, the American that is the champion, he said following the tournament, quote, "My uncle, when I was younger, he was like, John, you got a gift in stone skipping." So this guy had the gift from a young age, and I don't know if
wait, the American guy's not the one who cheated?
No, he won.
He won after...
Have you ever had an uncle tell you you have a gift at stone skipping? I don't think so. You think you're just going to walk in and beat John Jennings?
You know, I don't know how much of an event this is anyway. I'm looking at him holding the trophy, and I got to say, not that impressive.
The trophy?
The trophy looks like it could have been picked up at a local...
It's not like a giant flat stone?
No.
It should be that.
It really should.
It looks like a trophy I could go buy for $20 in the next 10 minutes. It
should be a giant natural flat stone they find.
I agree.
The trophy is the same as the rocks.
And you could break pieces off of it and skip it.
Yes.
In fact, that should be the ceremony. You break pieces off and skip it.
Some slate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
177 meters?
Yeah.
No, cumulative score.
Okay.
That makes a little bit more
sense. Hopefully it's more than 177 throws.
I don't know how many
throws.
I don't know how many throws you get.
A throw.
He helped create the Kentucky Stone Skipping Invitational.
Yeah.
Do we have one of those?
A Buffalo Stone Skipping?
We got lakes.
We got a lake.
Good lake.
We got some stones.
There must be, right? A Buffalo Stone Skipping Invitational?
You know what's happening right now? What? Gene Steratore is reaching out to see if he can be a rules official on the broadcast. You need me to tell you how far it went?
Non-conforming stone.
Yeah, right. The NFL's Hawkeye technology is ready to tell you how far it went.
Gosh.
All right, congratulations to the American who won. Scandal rocking. Get it? Rocks? Scandal rocks the stone skipping.
Mm-hmm.
Good for that.
Imagine going all the way to Scotland for that.
Ripples felt throughout the stone skip.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. I'll try. 803-0550. Bills Dolphins. We're chatting about it and other things as well. And we've got a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy. You ready for a week 3 conspiracy? Let's do it. Week 3 conspiracy in the NFL, as told by Don LaGreca in New York.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.